Hey folks, welcome back. Welcome, welcome. It's good to have you here. I am excited and honored to introduce you to my guest today, Scott Merriam. Hey Scott, welcome.
Hey, Forrest.
Thanks for
Good
being
meeting
here,
you.
man. Yeah, I appreciate you. So, you and I, pinged each other recently, and I sent some potential topics for exploration. I know you and I have a bunch of shared passions, a few of them, and feel free to list some off yourself, but a few of them being wholeness and emergent creativity, incubators for consciousness, incubators for the soul, for emergence, and sourcing, listening deeply for how emergence wants to emerge, how the unmanifest wants to come into form in real time, and like being deeply present and deeply available for the natural, organic, evolutionary unfolding of awareness in us as individuals, in our relationships, and in our projects in the world, in our businesses, in our communities. So, yeah, there's a tons of territories and topics and themes we can explore together. I wonder if there's any shiny objects in your awareness that you might want to speak to as well that we may or may not cover.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm with right now, like hearing you say all that and kind of letting myself kind of feel all of that with you. The thing that like arises or rises to the top for me is like something about being in the liminal space. Being in the kind of in between and the like evolutionary impulse, which I like often relate to or sense as a calling or like a beckoning from somewhere, from the beyond. Yeah, that's like where a lot of my curiosity is these days. Like, what is that beckoning, and how do we listen into it deeply and respond? And what's the like way? What's the, yeah, in a way, what's the way to respond to that beckoning or that impulse? Feels like it's coming from within and also like coming from without, coming from something that needs or wants to be listened to. Yeah. Curious if that resonates with you, like the sense of a calling. Or impulse as a kind of calling.
My head is nodding up and down in a yes kind of gesture. And I want to share what happens for me hearing you. And my first impulse is a little bit of a gesture of like creating space to draw more of what you're sharing. So I'm curious about you talk about the beckoning and the calling coming from something. I'm wondering if you could say more about something.
Yeah, I mean, what comes to me right now is that something being a kind of cloud of unknowing in a way. There's like a you know, even as I talk about it, there's some sense of kind of where language kind of starts to crumble as I put words to it, you know. It's like something having to do with the just notice like I've got my hand on my heart, and there's something about putting words to this that feels tricky. Like, listen.
I'm witnessing my hand go to my heart, seeing your hand on your heart.
It's like, what is this? Like, so there's it's like there's a way we can put so many words to it, and then there's just this question, like, what is this?
What is this? There's some curiosity over here around if we ask this, what is this? Does this respond?
Yeah, I mean, what comes to me as you ask that question is like, you know, I'm life calling itself into being. I'm creation. And it is, it's kind of like a, it's like the beckoning of the muse in a way. There's a kind of allure, a kind of mystique or a mystery in not knowing. And it can arrive as an inspiration, you know, to create something, to create some kind of form, to bring something into being, like work or a book or a business or a project or a piece of art. And there's the form, the forms that arise in that inspiration, and then there's the this that we're talking about, which is the kind of silent stillness, unknowing that has us in a way that we are subject to in a kind of in a kind of beautiful way. I'm as we're talking, I'm reminded of being I'm reminded of being at the volcano in Hawaii, and just being with the kind of just being with the energy of creation or the energy of life itself. Something about that. There's a kind of aliveness. And there's also inside of this impulse or this calling to bring something into form, you know, there can be this impulse to make it right away, to like want to step into it immediately. And it seems like, from my experience and from what I've witnessed in so many other people, is there's a way in which a calling or a beckoning or an impulse to create, like, it arrives also, it like arrives in this sensing. It's more this kind of like, I don't know, but there's this impulse and there's this, maybe there are ideas. But there's a kind of, I don't know, that is itself can create a kind of tension that many, many times I've wanted to skip over, you know, to bringing that idea into form, bringing that thing right into being. And what I've witnessed is more there's this invitation right as the impulse arrives. There's this invitation to almost counterintuitively turn toward being, or turn toward stillness, or turn toward the formlessness of what's arising. And like make almost like make a relationship with that formlessness. Rather than trying to quickly create form, like almost in a way, there's a sense of that kind of formless cloud beckoning wants to be known or wants to be abided in.
Something happens for me when you say abide it in.
There's something about rest. You know, that feels in a way kind of counterintuitive to maybe the culture that many of us are steeped in. Like feeling the call, and then and then instead of stepping toward action, stepping toward being. Which itself is a kind of like leap or act of trust or faith or surrender. to like letting whatever it is call itself into being. Whatever that impulse is, or whatever that even desire, which can feel really personal.
A moment ago, you were speaking about the tension in relationship with the I don't know. And I want to circle back to that and ask you, yeah, if you could say more about the tension in relationship to I don't know.
There's something about that, the tension of the kind of inner tension that gets created when you sense something that wants to emerge. But the way forward or the way to bring it into form is unclear. Or the how, like, how is this going to be possible? And it's like that tension is, it has all this generative potential inside of it. But depending on maybe your relationship to tension, you might feel the impulse to like really quickly need to resolve it, because tension can feel uncomfortable, and there's you know, there's good reason for that. So there's some degree of like taking tension as a signal flare rather than a sign of something being wrong.
As you say this, there's a moment, like a memory, a moment that pops for me of in relationship to what you're speaking to, or what gets evoked to me when you're speaking, is feeling tension in the body, in the belly. And there was a story immediately associated to that tension of, oh, this is a trauma. There's tension in the body, so this is a trauma. And actually, when I zoomed out real big, I could see that right at the edge of space and time, right at the edge where space and time are expanding, and the universe is getting bigger, there was a tear in the fabric of space and time, which was this tension, which was this, or even pain might be a word used to describe it. And the sensation, with the clarity of clear seeing, the sensation was actually the sensation of creation itself. And in that awareness and letting go of the story that this was a trauma, space and time kind of re-sewed themselves back together, and you know, the fabric of creation itself became more whole. And just the awareness of the sensation itself is creation, not a trauma. And actually, this is a meta process issue of just immediately naming a sensation a trauma, was actually creating a trauma itself. Yeah, that was a nice illumination.
Yeah, beautiful.
And practically, for concrete human being Forrest Wilson, a lot of days these days have looked like lying around on the ground, not doing anything physically in the concrete realm, and breathing, breathing and breathing, releasing, letting go, breathing through all of creation, all the forms and all of the formless. And at some point, sinking so deep into the stillness that movement happens. And it's the capital M movement. It's the movement without a mover. And then things happen. Podcasts get edited, emails get written, pictures get drawn, dishes get cleaned, food gets cooked. And at some point, that movement, the wave falls back into the stillness. And there's a really cool experience of being without a beer and doing without a doer, the way these feed each other, the reciprocity between stillness and movement, being still long enough until movement happens, moving long enough until stillness happens, and the relationship between movement and stillness, form and formless.
Hearing you say that, there's this curiosity I'm really holding about the movement that you're speaking to and the sometimes almost imperceptible thresholds that happen, like when you're saying between that stillness, like there's a kind of a movement that happens on its own. And I'm curious what your experience is like when you're in that in that space of being and doing nothing. Like, what's it like in there? For those who might not, like, for whom that might be an invitation, but not a known or lived experience.
I'm appreciating the, for me, there's a welcoming of the larger we when you say for those who, and so it just, for me, there's an immediate evoking of the folks who listen to this podcast recording and larger we's, the folks who are impacted by just the causal consequences of these conversations and the bigger and bigger unfoldings. So I'm doing, like, you know how bats send out pulsations into reality and then get back information? There's like this sonar process now going, who's here? Let me check out these objects in the field and see how everybody's doing. When are you listening? Where are you listening from? I'm just letting that subtly, maybe even I'm maybe, yeah, subtly inform the unfolding of our connection in this moment. There's honestly, Scott, there's like a when I get your question, I want to go so deep into the thing. And I'm like, there's a chance if I do that, I won't say anything for like 45 minutes. We won't have much of a podcast.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll speak about
Yeah. Yeah.
it.
Yeah. That's a way of speaking about it right there.
Yeah. I mean, there's a the practice that I have every day is I call it deep, deep, deep. And I lead this as a workshop for people. It's been my most popular workshop in recent months. People just rant and rave about it. So at some point, I will record the workshop and post it on the podcast so people can sit down and experientially go through the process. So the experience is different than me speaking about it. Speaking about it, what I'll tell you is what we do is we sink deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the, well, it's so weird to speak about it. I'm usually speaking from it, but I'll just say oceanic consciousness, sink deeper and deeper into the ocean. And at some point you can even have the experience of hitting the ocean floor. And it's from it's if once we sink all the way down and hit the base of being, the ocean floor, this is where some really interesting stuff can start to happen. Well, the whole time is interesting. And yeah, being with where we're coming from, being coming from the base of being invites a lot of what we're speaking to in this conversation of staying from the base of being, even as creation's happening. What's that like? What's it like for an action and an impulse to be to go all the way through to completion from the base of being? It's like a
Yeah.
non-dual experience.
There's something about letting yourself slow all the way down and go all the way down into the deep, deep, deep. Like, what's coming up for me as you're talking about it is part of that process seems also to be like encountering the edges and then going beyond. Or like it's a kind of allowing. It's a kind of like a recognition of the allowing that's already happening for that kind of depth. To be known or abided in a really intimate way. To be kind of like submersed. And here we are again, like abiding and submersion. It's like this kind of invitation into, and then, yeah, inevitably, there's this kind of, in my experience, this kind of upwelling. And there's this sense that the stillness is so it's like a bunch of contradictions, you know, in a way. Like the stillness is so full of aliveness and movement, and the depth and the emptiness is so full and brimming and kind of overflowing. And then there's almost like it's a, yeah, almost like it's an outpouring. There's a kind of outpouring that happens naturally. And this is kind of like there's this threshold that seems to happen toward a kind of movement that comes from not a mover, but of this kind of outpouring or this upwelling that can't help but move, or that can't help but move with the impulse that's arising.
Yeah, I really, the word threshold feels like it has something. Can you say more about threshold?
Yeah. I mean, it's a real curiosity for me in a way, like in the sense that we're talking about stillness and movement, we're talking about being and becoming, we're talking about these distinctions that in experience can't be distinguished between, are a kind of flow. I have the image of like an infinity symbol. A kind of, you talked about it recently in a post about a kind of rhythm, a kind of cyclic rhythm. And it's almost like the threshold between the out-breath and the in-breath, or the threshold in a, yeah, between a contraction or an expansion. It's almost imperceptible. And yet there's like something, there's some kind of shift, or there's some way that a change unfolds and a form looks different, like stillness suddenly becomes a kind of movement. And I suppose that curiosity is arising in me as a desire to like you know bring more attention to that in my life. And this movement or this threshold that we're speaking about between, you know, the stillness and emptiness of being and the emergence of something, the emergence of movement, or, you know, like you talked about it as the sort of edge of space-time and where creation, you know, like in a way is being born. There's here I am again with words. I suppose this threshold between stillness and movement is a kind of it's a place of sourcing, or it's often where, you know, at the beginning we were talking about the calling as a kind of a sense and a kind of unknowing, and this movement toward being in stillness. This is kind of like how we got here. And then from that beingness, there's this emergence. And and then there's like, in some instances, there's like there's an idea, or there's like a sketch or an image or a word or a something. And I wonder if this is another way of speaking about flow. Being in a kind of flow, or being in a kind of channel, or like this sense of coming to know and experience self as instrument, or self as like hollow and being lived through or spoken through or expressed through. And there's a kind of clarity and inspiration that's possible. And it's, you know, in a way, I think it's where it's like the source of art. The source of art making. But it comes from like allowing being and like trusting gestation, trusting like handing over will. And then there's something interesting that happens, which is I've experienced and witnessed it as a kind of conviction, which is this like movement from sourcing to a sense of like rooting and feeling a kind of possibility that feels on fire, you know, that is like a possibility of something you want to create or want to build, or that wants to come through you as like as this, like it's in your bones or in your blood or in your, like it's kind of the energy of spring, the emergence of like you know, the way that a a seedling has to break through the frozen ground early in the spring. There's just this like force and this vulnerable, open strength and this kind of blooming, inspiring, not caring, you know, like blossoming that happens.
Yeah, when you say not caring, it shows up for me as being completely let go of outcome, being completely released from attachment to what will manifest as the seed cracks open and becomes.
Yeah, I feel like partly where this is all coming from for me is like an exploration of being and becoming as a kind of cycle, as this natural rhythm, and exploring the kind of the seasons of being and becoming, not as something outside of ourselves, but as something that's like deeply just this kind of integrated process that's already happening. And yeah, so I'm developing in a way a kind of like a model or a way of mapping this process that we're talking about, or this cycle that we're talking about. And yeah, in a way as a support for people, or as a way finding tool, or as a way of acknowledging the wholeness along the way of maybe bringing something into form. I know that you and I really care a lot about the kind of birth of new forms and what's next, and supporting the people who are doing that, who are in the kind of in the work of bringing the next into being. And I think it can be hard in a way to be at the edges, and partly because there are we exist in abundance of maps and processes and tools for building things, but we don't have a lot of maps and tools for you know, birthing what's next. I say that and I'm like, I feel a little bit hubristic saying that, like there's a way in which that's not true, like but perhaps they can be hard to find, or they can be it can be a kind of a lonely experience.
Yeah. Yeah, when you say lonely experience, I oftentimes speak about the lone wolf experience, and now it's like there's increasingly more and more lone wolves who are finding each other and making what I call lone wolf packs. And what's important about that to me is, number one, lone wolf packs can midwife the lone wolves a bit through the experience. Like there are these seemingly, there are these archetypal signposts and inflection points and thresholds that we go through, and those of us who go through those can be available to folks who are going through them, or about to go through them, or have just gone through them. And in our passion for birthing new forms and from a new way of being, manifesting collectively, manifesting manifestation, collectively manifesting a new reality that we're all walking around in and enjoying together, there's also a collective resonance field, right? The more of us who are hanging out in deep, 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 the more of us who are forming lone wolf packs, the more of us who are embodying this new way of being, the more that we collectively manifest a new reality for all to experience.
I remember when I first got a glimpse that I wasn't alone or crazy. And just thinking about, you know, when this impulse came alive in me and, you know, this desire in a way to toward like what's next or what's possible. and feeling in a way like a lone wolf, and connecting with others. And this kind of astonishing journey that I went through to realize and recognize connection and relationship as a kind of like, in a way, like as the most generative resource that's available. And it arrived for me as a kind of surprise. Like, I remember feeling a kind of sense of innocence as I like came to this realization that like being in relationship with other people and in connection and bringing my kind of heart and heart's longing into, and my vision in a way for the world into relationship with other people. Finding kind of trusted confidants and finding people in the world who were also kind of in that inquiry. I mean, it was a total game changer for me. And I remember feeling this sense of like, oh, I didn't know. I've been running from connection. I'd spent a whole lifetime running from connection. And kind of slowly began to realize that part of this whole process of stepping into new ways of being, like individually and collectively, and bringing new forms into being, making making new things, making new art. Bringing that impulse into relationship has been one of the simplest and most generative things I could possibly do. And part of that is because I think we're in this, maybe we've been sold this story that like when you're creating something, there can be this idea of pruning toward a kind of pruning toward perfection, where you're like cutting away and culling away toward like a singular perfect thing, be it a business or a piece of art or a book that you're creating or whatever it is. And the reality is, in a way, like we're just iterating all the time. There's a way that like iteration is just happening constantly. And every time you bring a vision or an idea into relationship, that connection is bringing it alive and changing its shape. And suddenly, a single conversation can change the trajectory of the manifestation of that idea. And you were on version 1.2, and suddenly you're in version 1.3 when you hang up the phone. And so it's actually like a movement toward proliferation rather than pruning. The way in which like nature naturally proliferates, There's a way in which vision and manifestation, it seems, naturally iterates and proliferates.
It feels like some real juiciness around whatever version you're at in this moment, whether that's 1.2 or 7.10, right? Whatever it is, it's like, what's the step that you're at? That's the language we use a lot in light and action, the step that you're at and the step that's coming online. It could be fun to bring this into the practical in real time moment of maybe there's one or two or three iterations available for us in real time. In real time.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, you know, there's this we talked about the calling or the sensing or the beckoning and the impulse toward beingness and stillness and the deep. And the natural kind of upwelling that arises from that and the possibility that emerges. And then the sense of like conviction and birthing and something breaking through the kind of crust of the spring earth. And then bringing that inspiration into relationship. Bringing that like sourced conviction into the world and letting it be iterated upon and transformed and then experimentation is like what's next in a way and how the seed of something begins to take form and you know fully come through and take shape. So I would say, you know, in my own kind of life and my own where I'm finding myself is kind of in a like cycle of this in a way, like coming through to experimenting and offering. And then what I sometimes find in this is there's a natural kind of sense of release that happens when you've even like if you think about like making a piece of art or writing a piece of poetry or something, like you've given yourself over to whatever it is that moves you. And you've allowed yourself to birth it or bring it into being. And then there's just this natural kind of like rest or pause. It's like the body. Nature just needs to metabolize and integrate and be quiet in a way. And then from that space, there's like a kind of a sensing of what might be next, a movement toward being, the arising of something, the conviction of what could be, and then the enactment of it. And so it's, in a way, it's in this like cycle.
For anyone who's on audio only, there have been a few times that Scott and I have used our fingers on camera to draw infinity loops, and then there have been a few times that we've drawn circles. So Scott was just drawing a circle, talking about the cycle, just to include you in the visual component of what's happening here. And I'll also name that there was a moment where I was seeing a spiral with the circle, with the circle at each level of the spiral, the being becoming. There's this, for, okay, in this moment, there's a circle at each stage or threshold or mile marker of being and becoming that has the circle with the infinity loop in it. And that spirals up through the evolutionary unfolding. There's these different thresholds and different tiers at each level of being and becoming. Infinity loop inside of a circle. And that felt like a 18-wheeler coming through my and that was a big bite. Woof. And I want to name that you were talking about this stage of sourcing and bringing it into relationship. And I just want to make it explicit that we are doing this right now in this moment in real time. And I just want to name that as, yeah, I want to name that we're bringing this bringing sourcing in relationship with each other in this moment. And so we are in real time at the point that we're speaking about.
Yeah. I appreciate that. And it feels like, you know, like often in these moments where I've brought something, it I can feel it right now. There's this like sense of some possibility or potential here, and just naming that, or in the, and often for me in a way, like it arrives as a kind of vulnerability of having shared something or having brought something forth into relationship, that I'm creating or that is being created through me. And and there's this sense of there's this sense of not being able to get on top of it, which, you know, for a lot of my life has been really important to like be able to kind of understand or figure out with the mind how it's all going to work out or what's happening. And there's something about bringing vision or bringing the heart's longing into relationship that that is also a kind of relief. Like there's this sense of truth, like I don't need to do this alone. Um, It's actually being sort of becoming is happening in the context of relationship.
I don't know if this is happening for you, but there's quite a palpable shift in experience for me right now. Like the vibration of the field has shifted. There's quite a bit more jumpiness in experience for me of like I'm doing this gesture with my hands of like a flashing, and there's a dog in the room that I'm in that's been napping and now has jumped up and walking around me and looking at me and asking me to let it outside, and the air conditioner unit in the room changed, and there's just quite a bit of like happenings happening right now in experience. And I'm naming this, and now I'm seeing the dog scratch on the door. So I'm gonna, when I give this back over to you, I'm gonna mute and listen to you while I let the dog out. And I want to include you and the listener in the experience of this often happens of, we've been sinking deeper and deeper into stillness and speaking from stillness in some moments in this recording. And then there's this big woof that comes. It's almost like when you look at the ocean and the waves coming back, and all of a sudden the point we were talking about, the switch point between the inhale and the exhale, the switch point where the wave coming back then comes back through. And it feels like this has just happened in real time. So I want to just name that what we've been speaking about is also happening in this moment, and that the navigation of the experience is happening in real time as well. So here we are.
Yeah, and there's I mean, hearing you name that, yeah, I think there's for me there's often been an impulse to like a sense that I need to be in control of something or manage something. And in a way, this is where like a kind of like a sense of overwhelm can arise, or a sense of like, and then this the like the desire to be perfect or push harder, or it's like right when this shift that you're talking about happens, it's like, yeah, it's just this is where the possibility of like overwhelm can happen. Yeah. And again, it's speaking back to like just this truth that like we can't do this alone. The lone wolf can't. These are these are tumultuous waters.
Enjoying hearing tumultuous waters. There's an image of as the way, like to keep the ocean metaphor, as the wave is building, it's getting bigger, and there is an eye that's surfing the wave, right? And it's tumultuous waters. I mean, this wave has got some height to it and some velocity to it, and in this moment, there is the experience of, like, there is an I who is getting up and letting the dog out, and there is a wave that's this I is riding, or that's riding the I in a way. And for me, whoever me is in this moment, there's like a sinking deeper and deeper and deeper into the stillness of being. It's sinking deeper and deeper into the stillness of the ocean down in the depths, while this wave and riding is happening. And it feels like a real-time experience of what you spoke to earlier, of a turn towards, almost a paradoxical turn towards the stillness as the impulse is manifesting. So in real time, as I'm articulating all this out loud, there's a sinking even deeper into stillness as the whoosh, manifestation of the wave pours forth.
Yeah. Yeah, I there's something about that invitation that just feels like so right. And like almost as the to me there's something about like slowing all the way down to zero as the wave is cresting.
In a little bit more of a human, in a little bit more of a human way, how this has practically showed up for me is there were many times in my life where this wave would come through and there's quite a bit of excitement and exuberance and exhilaration. And there could be times of jumping in a almost chaotic, spun out action flow, or turning on a bunch of music and getting really elated, or in some moments it was like taking a hit of weed and like sharing openly really high energy excited shares of what could be possible and na 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 na. And the later turn towards shift that we're speaking about here is when that excitement and exuberance and exhilaration comes up, it's actually like a really big invitation to stop completely and breathe through all that. And seemingly, experientially, anything that's necessary gets done. Anything that needs to happen will happen, oftentimes without us even being aware that it happened, or sometimes in hindsight looking back, or wait, when did that page of that book get written, or when did that dog get let out again? There's like no self actions happening. Yeah, so just making it more human, oftentimes when the big rush of energy comes through, breathing through that and sinking into stillness without spazzing out, for a lack of a better way to put it, or getting over electrified, getting over like short circuiting a little bit. That's a practical experiential piece that I want to bring in from a human lens, is oftentimes when the wave starts to form, I'll actually like concretely hit the ground or something and just breathe for a few moments like with the physical body, and then there will be it's almost like the undercurrents really connecting deeply to the riptides and the undercurrents that have a little bit more pull, and deeper threads and trajectories that flow out more fully and less chaotically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I find sometimes, you know, in this space that we're talking about, I've, you know, you've named the kind of like chaotic, I named overwhelm. There's also the possibility of experiencing a kind of disorientation. Yeah, grounding and also what's really coming up for me is being outside, you know, and like lying on the earth and like putting your face in front of a tree or something, you know, there's just some way of like remembering. Being regulated by, you know, the earth itself in the way that that just can effortlessly happen just by being outside. So, yeah.
Yeah, we have this for the physical body and nervous system. And I often use this term causal co-regulation. There's times where our field of awareness can get super jittery and jumpy, and we need the best for me is getting a hug from someone who can hold the totality of our being. So you do get the physical nervous system, but you also get the big, big, big field is being held and cohered with as well. Someone who can really be fully present with all that is, as we're feeling a little bit jumpy and dysregulated, being present with all that is. That's a treasure for sure.
Yeah.
There's a shift happening now.
Yeah. I sense that too.
Big wave. Started with an 18-wheeler. Make way. Cannonball. Woo.
For those of you who are on just listening, Forrest is his background is this beautiful painting of a school of fish with like big eyes. And Forrest's form is melting back and forth into this fish painting throughout this whole conversation.
It might be worth going over to YouTube and taking a peek at the just come to this point, or any point in the recording, you'll see it actually. It's such a trippy painting. I can't look at my own. I'm just looking at you the whole time. If I look at that, I'll
mm.
So, in feeling the shift, what's happening for me is you mentioned the experimentation, and I got this sense of, coming out in the world and an offering, and what's happening with you in relationship to inviting folks into the ways that you play with this. So I just want to create space for you to share any offerings that you have, or products or invitations, ways people can engage with you, and what you're up to, what's lighting you up right now.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I my main interest right now is like supporting people in navigating this territory, you know? And like really there's it's coming from this sense of just knowing that we don't have many contexts and containers for exploring and like making room for this kind of inquiry. So yeah, I have a coaching practice that's really like it's really like a mentorship. It's like a way of walking alongside people in a really intimate way. And a lot of the work I do is actually through voice memo and like staying just like staying really in close touch and being in the kind of day to day, which is, you know, in a way, like there's a way that the sort of coaching and therapeutic model has felt kind of removed from life. It's like you go into the office or you have your Zoom call and it's 1 hour every couple weeks or whatever it is. And I've just found that working with people, you know, even if it's sharing voice memos back and forth, there's something about how it's integrated in the day-to-day where like things move in a much smoother, faster way toward toward clarity. So that's really what I'm up to right now is supporting people individually who are who feel some call toward some shift that they want to make or something that they're wanting to create or some impulse that they have, some vision they want to create, and are like just right at that moment where they know they can't do it alone. And need to bring it into relationship. Like, 'cause I it's been my experience that that shift happens at some point. It's like I can't do this alone anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel so deeply resonant with you in this. I have folks who sign up with me for 6 months or a year, just a period of time, and we do voice notes and texts and just have that. I mean, I do a weekly call as well, and I like that you're speaking to the foregrounding the voice notes, because that's really where the magic happens is. I just got out of this meeting, X, Y, and Z happened, or I'm going to this thing in another hour. Yeah, it's been a treasure for me to get to be in relationship with people in real time, not just have a weekly session and talk about what happened a week ago, but to feel where you're speaking from in the moment it's happening, and the transmission of it, the reverberation of the voice. And yeah, so feel resonant with you. How, if I mean, I imagine folks who are listening to this podcast and feeling deeply resonant with you can find you through your website and social media. Do you want to put some of your information out there of how folks can connect with you?
Yeah, I would say you can visit my website at scottmerriam.com, and yeah, encourage you to subscribe to my newsletter. And I'm also on Instagram. You can find me there, share some musings there. And yeah, would just welcome anyone who feels resonant or just wants to connect and have a conversation. And totally, that's like, my door is wide open.
I'll link your website and your Instagram in the show notes. So another easy way to find it for y'all listening is just go to the show notes and feel free to message me if you would like to connect with Scott and or for some reason not able to find him. I'm happy to put you in touch. Well, it seems we've washed out into a bigger field. So, yeah, are you open for some appreciation?
Yeah, that's great.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. Well, what I project onto you or what I experience from you, what you mirror back to me is a real devotion to this path, this process, this being and becoming. In my experience, we can only give a embodied transmission in the way that you have here today with me when we're really, really playing this game. And I experienced such a genuine transmission of the real experience of this. I don't get a sense you're regurgitating teachings back to me. There's a real genuine full embodied activated happening. So just want to name my appreciation of you and the courage that I know that it takes to live life like this, the conviction and dedication to whatever it is that we're dedicated to. Dedication for the sake of dedication, maybe conviction for the sake of conviction. But I want to appreciate you and acknowledge you and honor you for being a way shower and speaking from the future, and being an embodied example of what you're inviting people into.
Thanks, Forrest. Yeah, m really appreciate that. And I'm just, I've been with this this kind of bright, brilliant, shining quality that I experience with you, and have, yeah, just a tremendous amount of appreciation for you and the just this sense of kind of wonder I feel with you. This like sense of awe and wonder that is alive for me whenever I'm with you. Kind of like awe and wonder at the universe in a way. That's like one of the many things that comes alive when I'm with you, and just really appreciate you for the way in which you maybe allow that to be true and come through and transmit that.
Feels like a good point to pause for now.
Yeah.